Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:28 in that specific standard time. And today was another very eventful day on the geopolitical front. And if we kick it off in Asia, well, North Korea, I guess, did that for us yesterday by announcing that they had exploded a fourth nuclear test and claimed that it was a hydrogen bomb. And well, there's been a bit of conjecture since then as to whether that exactly was what they did, but there's no doubt that there was an earthquake as a result of whatever they did achieve. And rather interesting that it occurred the day after that the Chinese military was given a dressing down by Xi Jinping for the first time since Mao was premier, and he announced that they're going to be beefing up their military prowess and reorganizing it. And often, particularly when you look at China, it's difficult to say that coincidences occur, but rather that you can just link these two together, and some broader questions have to be asked about geopolitical ambitions, because the vast majority of commentary is just looking at this in a monochromatic way, and that might not necessarily be the case. But what we can anticipate is that with everything that is going on in China, and not least because Xi Jinping is wearing so many different hats, that they have an interest in supporting the stock market, and the stock market was a bit firmer in here today. And that's following the botched introduction of circuit breakers to the stock market on Monday, and they're scrambling now to reinstill some sense of confidence. The banking sector has been outperforming, and since that is the sector that is most easily manipulated by the government, that is an additional indication that the administration is doing what it can to help to support the market in here. And what that suggests is that we're going to have some additional ranging. Well, the other thing that they're doing is devaluing the currency, and that's particularly the case versus the US dollar. And well, the dollar is firm against just about everything right now, but it's particularly firm against the renminbi. When you look at the renminbi versus the euro, well, the euro is also a weak currency. And while it was a little bit firmer in here today, the renminbi has basically got a top formation, or the euro's got a base formation against it. And then we can anticipate that while the renminbi is only really depreciating against the dollar right now, that won't be the case for very much longer, that it will depreciate against other currencies as well. But perhaps not its Asian counterparts, because the Asian dollar index moved to a new low in here today, and yes, certainly the renminbi has a large weighting in that, but so does the Singapore dollar, the Taiwanese dollar, the Philippine peso, the Korean won, and they're all weaker in here today. The China's neighbors, and particularly those countries in its economic hinterland, they're not hanging around waiting for to see what's going to happen in China. They're taking the initiative and devaluing their own currencies. They simply can't tolerate a lack of the competitive advantage versus China. And that all throws into sharp relief the fact that it's not just a Latin American problem, that a lot of companies have taken out US dollar loans, and the surging value of the dollar versus their respective currencies is a headwind here. And that's contributing to the relative underperformance of Asian stock markets relative to Wall Street in particular. Well, the majority of markets were in negative territory today, and that's also the case in Europe, where the majority of indices were down in the order of 1%. The European banking sector is also pretty weak in here, and we just aren't seeing the pickup from the quantitative easing that we'd seen from this time last year. And part of the reason for that is because the ECB isn't accelerating its program in the way that the market had hoped. And against the background of higher geopolitical pressures, and not just out of the Korean Peninsula, but also the Arabian Peninsula, where Saudi Arabia and Iran are fighting proxy wars, and not so proxy, in Syria and in Yemen. Well, both of those countries are pumping oil with alacrity, and they're attempting to drive each other out of business. And there's a parallel there to be drawn with the USA attempting to bankrupt and succeeding in bankrupting the USSR during the Cold War by simply outspending. And is that then the policy that Saudi Arabia is currently employing against Iran? That are they deliberately pushing down the price of oil in order to hurt their biggest rival in the region? Well, oil prices fell today by $2 on WTI and $2.18 on Brent crude. Well, that moves them to a new low. Brent is currently at $34.24 and WTI is at $33.95. That's a new reaction low, and we hadn't seen very much of a rally. This is, you know, a resumption of the decline, and there's an increasingly oversold condition relative to the trend mean, but a clear upward dynamic is now going to be required to check momentum. And because this is a geopolitically dependent move, then there's going to be some form of catalyst when this eventually ends, but there isn't any sign of a catalyst just yet. Well, with oil prices coming down like this, deflationary pressures are going to renew. Those kinds of issues will wash out of the statistics in approximately 6 months. But for the present moment, what we're seeing is that government bond prices are firmer. And the long bond is pretty illiquid because there isn't that much supply around, and it's up almost 2 points. But the 10-year is up 19 points, and gilts are firming up in here. They're up 0.8 of 1 point, and gilt and bunds as well, up almost 2/3 of a point. Well, and against a background of a rather terse environment for the majority of global stock markets, then safe haven assets are attracting some additional interest in here. And the yen, which has been the carry trade currency of choice for a lot of leverage investors for really quite a long time, and not least because the Bank of Japan had purposefully attempted to devalue it, despite the loss of momentum that effort has had over the last year. Well, the yen was stronger today by a half a yen. It's down to 118.50, and that's the lower side of the range. The 120 area pretty much coincides with the region of the 200-day moving average, and a sustained move below it. And so far this week, that move has been sustained. Well, that's not great news for Japanese equities, and it's not great news either for deleveraging. It's evidence that carry trades are being unwound. That's what we're seeing. So with the yen, it's what we're seeing in government bonds, and it potentially is what we're also seeing in gold. And gold today was stronger by $16.60, and it's up to 1,094. So it continues to unwind the oversold condition relative to the trend mean. And the trend mean right now is around $1,150. And really, a sustained move above that area would break the medium-term downtrend. So we're just not there just yet. But what we are starting to see is that a reasonably small number of gold shares are starting to perform. And you know, one of the things that we look for is base formation completion. And you look at the wider stock market, there's really not an awful lot of it around, and not least because the market has been rallying for 6 years. Where you do see evidence of base formations is within the resources sector, and potentially increasingly within the energy sector, although what we're seeing there is accelerated declines in a number of shares. Well, and particularly those that are really leveraged to the shale gas. So like, say, Southwestern Energy is accelerating lower, whereas the majors are doing quite a bit better. But returning to the gold shares, generally speaking, it's not the larger, more diversified miners that are doing better. It's the small, more concentrated plays, and not least, you know, some of the more speculative plays where they haven't even got earnings yet, but they they've got good properties, then it's the promise of production at well below $1,000 is receiving interest at this current time, rather than diversified production, which because of the cost of diversifying all of that additional supply is probably a bit higher. And I'm going to post a number of those charts in comment of the day today. And every day I look through a substantial number of global indices, and it was rather interesting today because there's only a very small number of indices that are actually doing better and are trading at new highs for the year, and even over the last 3 months. And where you're starting to see, and I'll post, I didn't get a chance to redo it today, but I'll post these charts tomorrow. But it's Hungary, it's Latvia, Lithuania, and these aren't a number of those are Eurozone countries, but it would appear to be that it is Eastern Europe that is doing better from the fact that the euro has been weaker, and these countries haven't been affected by Russia's incursions into the Ukraine to any great extent. And what it appears is that these stock markets are attracting interest in here, and they're just about the only stock markets in the world right now that are still trading in the region of their respective highs, with the notable exception of the Nasdaq. And the Nasdaq was down about 1.14% in here today. That's taking it right down to the region of the 200-day moving average. And that's pretty impressive outperformance relative to just about everything else. And of course, it's being led higher and sustained by the outperformance of some of its largest constituents, with the notable exception of Apple, which pulled back to test the $100 area in here today. On the other hand, Netflix, which is trading on an eye-watering multiple of 500 times forward earnings, was up by about 8% in here today as it bounces from the region of the 200-day moving average. So there is still signs that some of the larger shares are still reasonably steady, that even though Amazon, Microsoft, Netflix had been incredibly overextended, Netflix at least has found support in the region of the moving average. And then we're still seeing mean reversion in Amazon or in Nvidia or Microsoft, but so far it's nothing more than a mean reversionary pullback. And generally speaking, that's reasonably favorable for the Nasdaq, but it's the underperformance of the transports index, which moved to a new low in here today, and the potential top formation development evident in the Russell 2000 that are perhaps the things that are most supportive of the bearish case. So there's a lot to play for here, and it's going to be another difficult year. And then little wonder that some of the safe haven type assets are doing a bit better in here. Well, we're going to need some form of catalyst that breadth in the market is improving before we can credibly believe that stock markets are going to be able to sustain moves to new highs this year. And at the present moment, that's looking fairly unlikely. And we know what we're looking for, and in the form of those catalysts, and they'll be relatively easy to identify when we do see them. And perhaps an additional catalyst would be that oil prices start to firm up, and that would also indicate that we get an easing of geopolitical tension. What we do not want to see is oil prices surging higher, because that, in fact, would probably be more of an indication that geopolitical concerns are going from being a kind of a cold war between Iran and Saudi Arabia to being a hot war. And that really would be bad news. And if we were to see energy prices surging higher, well, that would be really very bad news for the stock market generally. But that's not something that we're really worried about at the present time, when they've just broken lower. And I think with that, I'll leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.